This is Steve Sherlock on another Franklin Matters radio show, number 238 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with Kristen Letender, health and PE director for the Franklin Public School District, as well as a teacher at Franklin High School. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period, of course. We talk about her work on the School Wellness Advisory Council, on the Social Emotional Learning Committee, but more importantly, we spent time about keeping learning alive with her approach to mindfulness in a daily practice shared via Twitter. This conversation runs around 20 minutes, so let's listen to my conversation with Kristen and hear how a mindful approach can really help us to be present during these challenging days. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. Today I'm joined by
Kristen Letender,
the Director of Health and Physical Education for the Franklin School District. Kristen, good morning.
Morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining. Health at this point in the current pandemic certainly is top of mind. So while I've been talking with the health director for the town and the health nurse at the senior center, from a school perspective, I wanted to make sure we got your voice in here because this is certainly very important at this point in time. So thank you for taking some time in your schedule. And I know it's a little bit different than what you're normally doing these days.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to help.
A couple of other things. I think you're also on the School Wellness Advisory Council, if I recall.
Yes, I've been on the School Wellness Advisory Council almost since its inception, when the wellness policy came out in the late 2000s, 2008, 7 kind of time frame.
Okay, goes back a bit. Yep.
Goes back a bit.
Yes. And then another one related to that, I think it's the Social Emotional Learning Group, or I may have
yes.
it titled wrong, but.
Yeah, we have a Social Emotional Learning Committee that has been in the works for about 3 years, and we're at different stages of implementation, but focusing on the CASEL areas of social emotional learning. So, and self-regulation, self-management are two key pieces. And I think that's really been my focus as a teacher in the public schools and in my role. There are a few other dimensions, but I think mindfulness and being able to self-manage ourselves during this unprecedented time is really important.
And that's kind of the key reason today that I certainly wanted to bring you in to share with the community some of the things I've seen. At least you've got like a daily tweet with some activities. You want to elaborate on that? That might be part of what you're into.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was sitting at home when all of this happened and thinking about how can I keep the learning alive with my students? Many people maybe know and some probably don't that at the high school is where I teach, even though I oversee our K-12 health and physical education program. And the courses that I teach at the high school are yoga and fitness. So I teach yoga and fitness 1 and yoga and fitness 2.
Okay.
And in thinking of how am I going to keep the learning alive? And one important piece is, if you ask any of my yoga students, is that mindfulness is number one on our agenda every single day. And many people probably don't know that. So I was thinking, how can I do mindfulness with my students when I'm at home? Because usually I lead it, whether it's a prompt, whether it's a journal, whether it's a breathing exercise, whether it's a calm.com, or one of the resources that I've already been sharing with the community. So I started thinking about it and decided I was going to keep mindfulness alive with my students, at least for now, and post something in Google Classroom every day for them. So just like, you know, they'd walk in, the first thing they're going to see on Google Classroom is mindfulness.
On the virtual classroom board as opposed to the physical classroom board.
Exactly. Yeah. So now it's virtual instead of me writing it on the board or verbally explaining it or leading it. So then I was just reflecting on my own and thought, you know, we have a Twitter account. You know, just because a student's not in my class, why can't I share that with other students that may need it with the community?
Right.
You know, I post here and there on Twitter, and we have our K-12 account, which is great, and all teachers share. But I don't use a personal one like some of my teachers do. I always am kind of the the words behind the at FPS Health PE Twitter handle.
Okay, that's fine. You don't have, not everybody has to be front and center.
Yeah, so I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to do a tweet and I'm going to just tell everyone that, you know, I'm the voice behind the words, so to say, and encourage people to follow me. And I'm not really sure how much Twitter action is, you know, a lot of Twitter action, but mm-hmm. I'm seeing like upwards of almost 2,000 interactions on Twitter every day. So to me, I think that's a lot. Maybe you tweet more than I do, Steve, but I was really excited and thought, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to even do this on the weekends. You know, why does it have to stop with Friday and resume Monday? Right. So I've actually already planned out every mindfulness tweet that I'm going to be doing now through May 4th. So I'll extend it if this time at home extends. But that's my plan. It just started with an idea of what I do every day with my students and how can I share that and keep that alive while we're at home. And I think it's even more important now. You know, being able to just take a second and reflect. There's so much going on. There's so much information.
Yes.
And it's just a nice thing, I think, for people to do for themselves if they want to participate.
It is. There's a number of points there, and I don't want to do a deep dive on all of them, but we'll at least touch on a couple there. The mindfulness approach, clearly, absolutely, I encourage in my own practice of living, I do a daily walk. And for two reasons, obviously for the exercise, sometimes I'm listening to a podcast or some music, depending upon where I'm walking. Sometimes it's just listening to nature, right? And then the other day, or frequently, because of my dual role with Franklin Matters and reporting by walking around, I'll take photos. So the other day, coming back into the driveway, the flowers are starting to bloom. So literally just taking that few seconds, knelt down, take a photo, you know, and share that out. That in itself generates some action. And, you know, action and activity, you know, what's relative? Today, maybe the 2,000 is a good one. Maybe as you go with some other additional awareness, it'll go to 4, it'll go to 8. I don't worry about the numbers per se. I worry about the impact and the action that comes from that. So if you see people truly becoming mindful because of that, that's the key.
Yeah, absolutely. I was excited just to see that people are participating, and I'm kind of getting a feel for the tweets that people really like. Especially I notice on the nicer days, I've been making sure that I'm doing the walking mindfulness prompts on the nice days. And I'm seeing a lot of people are interacting with the tweet. So I'm like, okay, this is a good thing. So it is a little bit of a way that I can interact with the community and get a feel for what people want and need.
It is a form of listening. And then by listening, you're understanding what is being reacted to and what's happening. And thereby you can develop your reaction to it as well. I think it was one of the school committee meetings in February. And again, what day is it today? Under this new schedule, things are kind of like blending together. I don't remember per se.
It really is.
I remember Lucas Jaguer, the assistant superintendent and the SWAC coordinator, did a mindful exercise. He did a breathing exercise at the school committee meeting. And that 5 minutes was just magic. The meeting was so much better. It's like, well, let's do this in all the meetings, please.
It's true. And so just to give you a little bit about my background related to mindfulness, I've been teaching in Franklin since 2005, and I'm also an assistant professor at Bridgewater State University.
Okay.
So I teach a couple classes there at night, and I've always been passionate about public health and prevention. And I was just looking at what I would also consider a public health crisis is the stress and anxiety and mental health of our people in our country. And I know we're a reactive society more frequently than preventative. And I was just really, I was working on my certificate of advanced graduate studies at Bridgewater State University at the time. And start to do more research on prevention related to the stress that I'm seeing in my students. Mm-hmm. And that triggered me to do a 200-hour yoga teacher training. So I'm a Yoga Alliance registered yoga teacher. I did want it for the physical practice and to bring yoga into schools, into mm-hmm. PE, essentially, was my initial goal. And it morphed into, this is just as much about mental health and our sanity and our stress management, self-management. I mean, really, I was talking about SEL before we needed and standards, you know, through the state and everything. And it just really took off. And I started doing a little bit of mindfulness then. And it just grew because I almost felt for myself more than even the physical practice. It really became a more mental health self-care practice for me. Mm-hmm. Sure. And I would do reflections with my students, and I just kept finding that they really enjoyed and needed that I say quote unquote break during the day, but it really was essential. And then I started playing around with, you know, when do I practice mindfulness with my students and my class? And I found that, like I mentioned before, first thing when students walk in, you know, they may have had this crazy day. I maybe came from a crazy meeting or phone call or whatever it was and have my to-do list for the rest of the day. But once we got on our mat and we centered ourselves and practiced our mindfulness, it just changed the tone. So what you just said is exactly what happened. It reframed the rest of our day. It reframed our class. You know, you can't always leave your to-do lists and your stress at the door. But it gives you that little break, that little reprieve, and helps you to center and to take that pause. I talk a lot about being present is more of the term that I use with students, but how do you be present and give yourself permission to be present? So that's hard. I think that's harder than doing any warrior or down dog that there is in yoga. No. And there is a lot of discomfort in life, and how do you work through it? So I think there's a lot of life skills, and SEL plays right into that. And I think the more that I've practiced, it's really become a important part of my day. And one of the major reasons why students want to practice yoga with me every day. And I feel so lucky that I get to share that experience with students every single day. So that's why when we were home, I'm like, how do I do that? I've almost lost that piece of our, you know, connection, and, you know, came to this point. So I think it's really authentic for me and an important, piece of what I do as a teacher. So, I hope that people are able to get that joy and passion and experience when I share.
I think by creating that model so that people see what you're doing and what effect it has upon you, and then they can say, well, yeah, that's not hard. And then they try it, and then it has that effect. And then over time, certainly habits aren't built overnight, but over a period of time, it becomes much more of a, you know, something they can go to. They can find the time, be comfortable in finding the time, making the time if they need to, because as you're aware, between the news and the social media, there's so many demands, but we really need to kind of put them in their place. You know, so if you, and I, as much as I'm on social media, it looks like I'm there. I'm not really. I use a lot of tools to schedule things, and I tap in maybe once or twice a day. If I have time, maybe it's three times a day, but short periods. I don't, I personally, I don't know how somebody could spend all their time doing it. And I understand people do, but to your point, there's some better ways of doing things and being mindful, being centered, being present. Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's so much research related to the health benefits of mindfulness and how it can actually positively change your brain and your thoughts and increase positive emotions and reducing negative thoughts. It can help increase focus. So, you know, people think that you know, I don't have time for mindfulness. That must be really nice that you know how to do that and you have time for that. Right. That's just like when people say, well, I can't practice yoga, I'm not flexible. Well, those are the reasons why you need to be there. And even if it's only for a couple minutes. So that's what I'm hoping. And I'm just saying, like, you know, 5 to 10 breaths or 2 minutes or a 10-minute walk. I mean, I would love for people to do more. I personally would love to do more. But when you give little snippets and small samples, I think that's more manageable and easier for people to chew and to try out. So that's what I've really been trying to do is, you know, meet people where they're at.
A little bit at a time. And then that positivity can develop that self-reinforcing factor to go forward. I concur. As pretty much while I'm not running these days, I've been a lifelong runner. I consider myself a lifelong runner. And even when I was coaching, just that simple approach, you know, especially who we are, and the key example that I always talk to is like a high jumper. If the high jumper did not believe that they were going to go over the bar, no matter how much we practiced, they weren't going to go over the bar. Even if the bar was low, you got to have that ability to think that I can do this. Yeah. And then do the steps and do the exercise and then follow through, and it magically it just happens. But not magically, you've got to do it all that way. But if you don't have that start, I can do it, forget it, it's just never gonna happen.
Yeah, exactly. Your mind and your beliefs are really powerful, and you can use them to help yourself and to, you know, reframe and rethink. And you know, believe in yourself is really important. So just knowing that and taking that and using it towards your advantage is important.
So there are other things in this space that you want to cover while we're at it? I think there's certainly a lot going on.
Yeah. I'd like to share our Twitter handle just in case people don't have it and promote it. So it's at FPS Health. PE all together. So you can follow us there, and feel free to comment in the comment area and give me any feedback if you would like.
Comment back, retweet, like.
Yeah, retweet, share. You know, I really want everyone to have access. I think that's my biggest piece, is trying to help as many people as we can during this time.
Yep. And while we're doing this on the audio, clearly in the show notes that will accompany this on the Franklin Matters page as well, we'll include links for the handle and other resources that may come up. So
perfect.
If you can't remember, we can at least have people come back to from the audio to the show notes. They'll be able to get it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd love to share some resources that I've already shared with our school community with you as well. Some of my favorites, you know, I don't come up with all this stuff on my own. Some of them are my own original thought, but I cite the people and the sources that I am using. So sure. I'm happy to share some of my favorites with you and have you put it up on your page as well.
Absolutely.
So people can access.
And we look forward Amazon to that.
Yeah, exactly. And since Amazon is still delivering, people can probably get their hands on some of these resources as well.
Yeah, either hard copy, or if they want, they could do a Kindle version if they're available. Or in
That's
some cases,
true.
I'm sure there's probably an Audible version available
too.
Yeah,
exactly. And even some websites like calm.com is one of my favorites. They're offering free subscriptions for people, I believe. There are other apps. I haven't really shared any of the apps or audios on Twitter so far. I'm not Twitter savvy enough, I think, to do that quite yet. I can learn, but there's a ton more out there. And I think it's important, however you practice mindfulness, if you just try to practice it during this time, would be a great thing.
Well, thank you for your time today. And it sounds like this is the topic that we can certainly come back to. I know I do want to spend some more time at some point around the School Wellness Advisory Council and your other work on SEL, because I think it also ties into work that's going under that you're coordinating with, in some cases, with the SAFE Coalition.
Yeah.
Which clearly they're dealing with an aspect of what comes back to, you know, as you were talking about, you know, the people are just not comfortable with themselves, so they're seeking satisfaction and then end up addicted. And then that in itself, dealing with addiction is a long road to come back from too. So Other than that, thank you for what you're doing. Continue to do that. I'll look forward to the daily tweets, and we'll share those with the folks. Be safe. Be social at a distance.
Yes, you too. Thank you so much. It was great to be on and great to share.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends or neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008. In used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.